days we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist, we first have to put this into context and remember that there are only three birthdays that the Church celebrates. That is, of course, our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Lady, and St. John the Baptist. These are the three people of the New Testament who were born without original sin. Our Lord, of course, is God. There is no original sin. Our Lady was conceived without original sin. And St. John the Baptist, while conceived with original sin, had the sin removed from his soul at the time of the visitation, when he leapt with joy in his mother's womb. The theologians tell us that's when original sin was removed from his soul. And so he was born without original sin. That's what happens to you and me when we're baptized and original sin is removed. So he still had the effects of original sin, just as we do. Our Lord and our Blessed Lady, of course, didn't have that. But St. John the Baptist did. The only other one that we can really look at who was born without original sin is the prophet Jeremiah. We're told he was sanctified in his mother's womb. People point to Adam and Eve, but neither one of them was born. And so they were simply created, but not born, so they don't quite fit. Besides that, original sin was their problem, so it wasn't around before them. Anyway, all that said, so we celebrate this feast because he is the forerunner of the Lord. The saints will tell us he is the last prophet of the Old Testament and the first prophet of the New Testament. He is the bridge that spans these two and unites them. And so he holds a very specific place in salvation history. And we see that even in the extraordinary events of his birth, that he is conceived by a woman who was well beyond the years that it would normally happen. He was conceived, obviously, in extraordinary ways with the angel appearing to his father and telling him all of these things that would happen, and even telling him what the name of the child is to be, to the point that people are astounded when they name him. Yohanan simply means God is gracious. And so he is the one who is to bring the grace of God into the world. So when people ask that question, what will this child be? Have to remember that the way that people saw it, and we don't anymore, sadly, but people named their children based on what they believed that God was calling to be. And it's rather an amazing thing how many times at funerals where I will look at a person's name and say, well, that's exactly what their life was. And so even though we don't have that understanding, God still does. And so when all these things happen in a way that was different from what the people would have expected, then they were questioning. They saw Zechariah not being able to speak, and suddenly as soon as he wrote down his name is John, his mouth is open, his tongue is loosed, he's able to speak once again. And so they're seeing all these extraordinary events and wondering, who is this? What is this child to be? And of course, we know that there were people who thought that he might be the Messiah. And we see in the second reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, the great humility of St. John the Baptist. He has all these people coming to listen to him. He could have been all puffed up. He could have drawn people to himself, but he didn't. It's a great lesson for all of us. It's not about you or me. It's about the Lord. And are we pointing people that direction? And as Paul points out, St. Paul, as we hear in that second reading, that St. John the Baptist, as his life was coming toward its end, was able to look at the people and say, what do you think that I am? I am not he. So again, it goes right back to that same question that they asked at the very beginning of his life. What will this child be? But they didn't understand. But he did. He understood his role. He understood that he was the forerunner. He was Elijah. Jesus made that very clear, that the spirit of Elijah was on St. John the Baptist. And so the spirit of Elijah is one that is passed down. And so when the apostles asked him, why does Scripture say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus said, Elijah has come, and talks about how they treated him and says they understood he was talking about John the Baptist. And so he was there, as the prophet Malachi points out, to prepare a people fit for the Lord. And so his call was to prepare the people through the baptism of repentance, to be able to get their hearts turned back toward God, our Heavenly Father, to be able to get their act together and be prepared for receiving our Lord. That was his task, and what a profound task it is. And yet to have to still have the humility to be able to draw people to the one who was coming, to not draw them to himself, but to point beyond himself, to just simply say, look, I'm just the one to prepare the people. And that's even what he said. I am a voice in the wilderness. He wasn't the one to come. Jesus was the one to come. He was the one to prepare for this. And so that's, again, we just see the greatness of this man who, because of his great humility, was also then able to have the great charity that he was able to bring to the people, that love of God and the love of the people, that he had such a profound love for souls as he called them to conversion, as he called them to repentance, and pointed them toward where their peace and their fulfillment would be. And that has not stopped. He continues to call us to repentance. He continues to point us to our Lord. That spirit of Elijah continues as it, because there is always going to be, as I've told you before, anytime there's a day of the Lord, there is one with the spirit of Elijah, or more than one, because it can be given to numerous people. Someone with the spirit of Elijah is going to go before the Lord to prepare his way. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that the coming of the Lord, but that the Lord is going to be intervening in human history. That's the day of the Lord. And always then there will be someone to prepare. That's going to be. So that's what St. John the Baptist was. Just as Elijah came before him, that spirit of Elijah was passed on to Elisha, that spirit is passed on to John the Baptist. We can look at others throughout history as God has worked, and you can see how this all occurs. But it's all about the same thing, turning our hearts to the Lord, getting the sin out, repenting of our sinfulness, and turning toward God with the love and the reverence that we need to have. That's the call of the Baptist. That was the call of Elijah before him. And that is a call that continues for each one of us. So in our day, as we see what's going on in the world and in the church, well, it's not too much unlike what was going on 2,000 years ago. And so we see the importance of this call. The grace of God is there. That's his name. God is gracious. Remember that our Lord told us that, well, God told St. Paul, rather, that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. The grace is there. The grace is there for us to repent. The grace is there for us to turn to our Heavenly Father. The grace is there for us to truly live that holy life, united with the one who was pointed to by John the Baptist, not calling anyone to himself, pointing beyond, pointing to Jesus. And that's exactly, for all of us, the same truth that has come down for the last 2,000 years, the same message: repent and turn to the Lord.